Fighting Fury, we're from Tigerland. In any weather you will see us with a grin, risking head and skin. If we're behind, then never mind, we'll fight and fight and win, for we're from Tigerland. We never weaken till the final siren's gone.
Good evening, TigerCast fans. Welcome to Monday Night Show, wherever you are from around the world. Welcome. We are glad that you're along for the ride with the last weekly show, I guess, for the year. I'm sure there'll be other bits and pieces that pop up at various points in time, but it's good to have everyone back on board after what was maybe not so much of a good game, which I'm sure we'll get into, and I'm sure we'll see plenty of thoughts and feelings from those in chat. But EJ, welcome, mate. How are you? Nice background.
Yeah, just a bit of love for a bloke that's not going to play again this year. Hoping that this is the year, finally, that he gets a bit of recognition from those in higher places than us. Although I do worry after seeing the game that Warrell played on the weekend that he's going to miss out again. Anyway, we'll see what happens.
I feel like his last couple of games, I don't want to say I've let him down because that's not the right word, but might undo him long-term for Old Australian, but that to one side, and I'm sure we'll talk about it later, CB, but awfully shit news to hear the injury to Nick Vlosten. And, I mean, a lot of people are actually saying that if it is the break that was being reported, that that can sometimes be better and cleaner than, like, the syndesmosis. So it's not necessarily the worst outcome.
So did you have my car bugged when I was talking to EJ earlier today? We had a brief combo.
That's
what we were saying. We were saying we would prefer the break than syndesmosis because at least he gets back into pre-season. So
yeah, it's a fair call. Yeah.
Yeah. So if there can be a positive out of an injury, it's not going to impact his pre-season too much.
What's the duration? What's it like 6 to 8 weeks you stay off at form? Not sure. 6 to 8. Yeah. Okay.
He'll be running before Christmas.
Okay. So yeah, and from what we've kind of seen here, syndesmosis seems to be a bit more reoccurring. It can flare up and cause all kinds of issues down the track, doesn't it? So Damien's just really getting on CB's good side early, looking 10 years younger. Jesus.
It was a shit moustache. Damien. It was just irritating me too much and annoying me, so I had to go. So I've still kept the Shannon Knoll what about me flavour saver, so got something.
Yeah, you got a lift.
I got a lift. I got a car.
We'll get to that as well, Adrog. It's a good call. He definitely did take him to the cleaners. But we'll start off with what has been an enjoyable ride, despite me stuffing the graphic up because we've run out of spots. But the North Melbourne Death Ride chart, and unfortunately, we've only got ourselves to blame for this pick swap changing positions. But instead of pick 2 and 3, we've now got pick 3 and 2. So still not such a bad outcome, but the Kangas pick up obviously the win on the weekend. Sorry, CB. And they're now up to 16th on the ladder, giving us pick number 3. So the equation's pretty simple. If they beat Adelaide, which I mean, on the surface seems unlikely, right? Unless Adelaide are happy with second and they're prepared to rest players. I don't think they will, to be honest. But unless the Kangaroos can beat Adelaide, they would then go above Essendon, assuming Essendon lose their other two games as well. So whilst very unlikely that it will occur, that's still a chance, but I think we're still looking good. We're looking good for at least pick 3 or 4 here, gents. So I would say that it's categorically been a success for us, the trade, despite the result on the weekend. And we'll probably roll it into talking about the game, but I do straight off the top want to give a big shout out of respect to North for trolling us with Matt Whitlock playing, being sub, and then coming on to kick a goal. I thought that was pure genius, and I respect the hustle for doing that.
And for the goal to be a crumbing goal at the back of the pack.
Joe the Goose at the back. It was, you could you knew that everyone at the crowd knew what was happening too. It was a pretty good troll from them. But no, I think ultimately, gents, that when we look back on this trade, that we'll feel pretty happy about the end outcome.
Even by losing, we still win.
Yeah.
Which is all you can ask. And like I said, the only way they're beating the Crows is if the Crows field their Sandful side, which I really don't think they're going to do. I think they are going to have a crack at trying to win the game. But with that said, we'll push into the actual game itself, which I know a lot of people are probably wanting to vent about and give all kinds of views on, which is why we're here. It's an open and public forum. But Kangaroos knocked us off by 48 points, 2015, 135 to 13, 9, 87 down in Tassie. I guess we all went into this game thinking that this was one last chance for us to win a game, as would have North Melbourne. And they just stepped up to the plate a hell of a lot better than what we did, which is where everyone's frustration's coming from, that we all thought that we should have been right in amongst this game. I thought the first quarter, we were kind of in the mix early. We were doing okay. But then second quarter, it felt like they were starting to shift it onto their terms, EJ. And then the third quarter, it all came crashing down in a piling heap of shit as they kicked eight goals and put us to the sword in 18 to 20 minutes.
Yeah, I don't know what he's laughing at. yeah, look, we came out of the blocks, but even at the end of the first quarter, the red lights were flashing for me. Even at the end of the first quarter. And I don't want to be negative because I think the year is a success overall. But this one for me was probably easily the most disappointing performance of the year. I don't mind getting beaten week after week, but this was the first one where I could question the intensity level. Yeah. And that was disappointing. We just got absolutely obliterated in the midfield. I saw a stat somewhere that LDU and Sheasel had more combined than Taranto, Hopper, blah, 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 like half of their bloody side.
They had 15 more disposals than Taranto, Ross, Hopper and Prestia combined.
Yeah, yeah. So, look, I still want to focus on the positives because there are lots of positives, but just from a personal level, it's just the most disappointing and disheartening. It's just not a way to end the season. It's, you know, like I'm going to be going to the Geelong game this week and I'm questioning why I'm going. After our performance against St Kilda, I was expecting a win. Yeah. So,
I think no, so. I think we're definitely expecting a win, CB, or to be at least a lot more competitive than that.
It's a tough choice EJ has. He's got two choices on the table. Slam his nuts really hard into a filing cabinet door or go to Saturday's game. I don't know. I'm wavering 50-50 on which is less painful at this stage. So good luck with that one, mate. Look, it was I saw RFC sent his comment earlier. I think some of the boys are just getting tired now. I think there's a bit of fatigue setting in, which doesn't augur well for next week. But I mean, you look at Toby Nankervis, he's a classic example of a guy who just looks knackered. And he's trying his heart out and he's putting in, but he looks a bit out in his feet. So, and I think, yeah, the young blokes have had a pretty long season. So, agree with everyone. I had us 3-5 for the year. We got to the 5. Would have loved to have got 6. That would have been just that last little cherry on top. Keep in mind, too, I know I'm happy to say, be pillared for this one. North's ladder position doesn't belie the talent that's on that list. They've got a shit ton of talent on their list. So, while we can go, yeah, we're disappointed with their outcome, they're 2 years ahead of us development-wise and list selection-wise. So maybe we got ahead of ourselves a bit. Maybe we did, maybe we didn't. But I just think the guys look tired.
You might be using Tiggs' $10,000 computer, I think.
Have I frozen?
Has he?
Have I?
No, he's right. Oh, yeah, EJ's frozen.
EJ's frozen. No, we're back. There we go. The reverse Moz. So anyway, that's just...
I was having a crack at you about using Tiggs' $10,000 computer.
And that was the best, and then you froze. What timing?
Look, That's just how I see it. Rightly, wrongly, that's just my opinion.
Yeah, and I think I know there's a lot of varying opinions in chat, and it's all welcome and all warranted. And I think what's important to remember is I think it's completely justifiable to be angry and pissed off at this performance because it shouldn't have been what it was. But I also want to stress that we shouldn't let this tarnish the entire year. Like, don't let this one bad game override the fact that we have more than doubled our wins from last year. And we have seen some good signs. But yes, the game of the weekend was far from ideal. You talk about moments in time, and you know, I thought Tom Lynch had a really, really good first half. His contested marking was unbelievable. EJ was kind of like the Tom Lynch of old. He kicked some goals that we didn't think he was going to kick, and then he missed a couple of goals that we all thought he probably should have kicked. And I reckon that third quarter, we actually dominated the start of that third quarter territory-wise and possession-wise, but we just kept missing. And then when he marked that one 25 out, slight angle, I'm like, he's got to kick this. And he misses that. They go down and score, and then the floodgates open. But for me, what was most disappointing, EJ, besides the fact that we lost in totality, but conceding 135 points to a North Melbourne side without Larky and without Zerha for bulk of the game as well, that to me was what was really annoying. And our backline, I thought, this might sound stupid, but I don't think the backline did too bad. It was the lack of pressure around the ground, and they were just given such easy access to forward 50 entries that no one could have defended it.
Yeah, no, that's it. And it was all the midfield, and they were just walking it out of there. And I actually had a friend text me, and he's a Sydney supporter, and I had to defend Hopper and say, look, he's probably top three in our BNF, to be fair. He's had a great season. But his question was, is Hopper the slowest midfielder in the AFL? And he might have a point. And we've been saying for weeks and weeks and weeks about we can't play the three of them together. They're too slow. That was really exposed on the weekend. And I think you had some stats. Was it? Did you put some stats up earlier on about
Hot Dog? The CBAs? Yeah. So the last three, this is based off the last three games, the centre clearance percentages. So Prestia is sitting at 9.2%, 5 centre clearances from 54 centre bounce attendances. Hopper's on 4.8% from 62 centre bounces with 3 clearances. And Tim Taranto's on 5.2% with 2 centre bounce clearances from 38 CBAs. Tash Houghton is on 36% with 4 centre clearances from 11 CBAs. So the kid's getting that's a wonderful stat for him personally, but it really does highlight how the midfield's fallen away in this latter part of the year. And it's quite a unique situation, though, because you would still have to say, despite the criticisms, I think they're all warranted about them not playing in the same midfield together, you would still have to say that Taranto and Hopper individually have had almost seasonal career best years. But as working in the middle together with Prestia, it doesn't work. And I guess my bugbear is that I know Uze had mentioned that we'll see some different names in the midfield and stuff like that. And I guess when you look at the stat sheet at the end of the day, it'll say that. But my problem is when that happens. Like, the game's slowly starting to slip away and we're still rolling the same shit through and we're getting smashed bounce after bounce after bounce and nothing's changing. It's like, why not then move someone into the midfield? And like Seth Campbell, CB, went disposalist for a quarter and a half. Why not get him into the game earlier and try and change the run of play?
So I want to ask this of the viewers, all right? Next Saturday, because the result doesn't mean shit. Let's be honest. The result doesn't mean a thing on Saturday. Whether we get done by 50, 100, 100, it doesn't actually matter. What would you prefer on Saturday, viewers? Would you prefer to start off with Taranto, Hopper, Prestia? Or would you maybe prefer to start with Taranto, Seth Campbell, Morris Rioli Jr., or Taj Houghton? And then all of a sudden you might have Hopper, Ross, someone like, do you want to see Uze shake it up in the center for this last game? Or do you want to just roll out with the same old, because that's what we've done the whole year. Let's back the system in for one more. What would you, the viewers, actually want to see this Saturday out of the middle?
I'm just doing some basic maths in my head. Did you say that Houghton won 36% of his CBAs?
Yep.
Right. So if we clone Houghton, right, and we have three Houghtons in there, we would win 108% of our CBAs.
So there's a challenge for someone in the off-season. Find a way to clone Taj, and we'll be hype in the midfield. To answer your question, CB, I think I would rather shake. And I think we all thought that's what was going to be happening based on what was kind of written and said. I guess the club's version of mixing it up and what we wanted to see is different. And I suppose I still think that there's some deep down rationale behind why they're doing what they're doing. We just don't know what it is. And maybe it would make us all feel a little bit different if we were to know it. But I'd want to see it shaken up. The trade-off is if you put those young guys in there with one experienced head, you might get slapped in there. But we're getting slapped in there anyway. So
correct. Right?
Just roll the dice.
So everybody took nearly, I'd say 98% have just said shake it up. So everybody's up for it. So long as you can handle getting done by 100, I would just rather see us lose and try something than go with the same old and get the same result anyway, right? You're better off getting something out of this game is my point.
I do not want to lose by 100. We've avoided it all year.
Yeah, I'm with you, EJ.
Don't open the door. Don't open the door. I do not want to lose.
How do you know that we might make the result closer by playing a different midfield, Captain Bloody Littrell?
You said the result doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how much we get beaten by, right?
Doesn't matter.
I don't want to lose by 100 points.
I've always said I've got no problem with starting the game with our perceived A grade, whatever we think the best combination is. If that's Prestia, Taranto, Hopper, Ross, so be it. But then evolve it and change it quicker. Don't wait until the last quarter before we start seeing a few more names. I know Taj snuck in there a little bit earlier on. I just feel like that we don't pull the levers quick enough when the game's slipping out of reach. Like we kind of keep relying on the same thing to dig us out of the hole that they got us into, and it's just not working. But I also understand that there's some development and growth that has to happen as well from our players and a lot of these guys. Like Taj only played about 65% game time, so there's still some fitness to be built up for these guys to get more minutes in there as well. But it was just a little bit frustrating. A little bit frustrating. I thought that we could have maybe pulled a few levers earlier. But you know what? North, end of the day, I don't want to take anything away from North. They just simply wanted it more than we did. And yeah, I guess what were your thoughts, gents, and everyone in chat on not tagging Harry Sheezel?
What did I say on the weekend at halftime? I said that he was on 28 disposals, and I said 28 and 28 is 56. Surely we won't let him run around again. It would be nice to hold him to somewhere near 40 or maybe 45 to get almost the same amount of disposals in the second half. Look, it's obvious that at this stage of development, we're not really a heavily tagging side, but at the point where someone is taking the piss, you've got to try something. And now he reckons in the press conference, he goes, we tried Ross for a bit or whatever. I don't want to come on man, our own coach, but come on, man. Like 54 disposals, that is taking the P155. Like that was a bit disappointing.
Okay.
He was everywhere. He was kind of just wandering through the middle of the ground unopposed. What makes it worse is LDU then getting 40. Like, bang. I don't think that's happened since I asked someone on the internet. I think it was somewhere in the 70s was the last time a team had a 50 disposal winner and a 40 disposal winner in the same game. And then, when you look at the overall stats that, what do we have? So it was 15 more than them, but 11 of the top 12 disposal getters on the ground were North Melbourne players. I think Jacob Hopper led the way for us, then Nane Curvis. So we only had one or two players with 20-plus disposals. You're not going to win any games of football if you don't get the ball that often. It's just that simple, isn't it?
Yeah. James French. Put James French's comment up there because I actually thought this.
Hang on, I'm trying to catch up here.
All right, let's talk
long
about
sleeves.
This.
Right, it was interesting. It's an observation. I like it.
Clarko always had a view in a strong Hawthorn team. If you wore long sleeves, you were a bit of a weak prick, and he banned them, right? And I think we've got a few too many long sleeves out in that ground. We need to just cut it out, boys. No long sleeves. Get rid of them.
No long sleeves.
No. Well, I think it I'll was. I'm going to give ups to someone. If Trezise is going to play like that, he can wear long sleeves whenever he wants. He had a crack. He was pretty good in the first half.
Yeah, and I was actually glad he walked away okay from the incident where he got the goal from too. But
yeah, you know, he had a bit of that. That looked really
ugly. But I thought he responded well from maybe a bit more of a down game the week prior, which is good. And I thought Houghton was the other one who can hold his head high. He's going to be special. I just love how much time he can make for himself in traffic. Just holds onto the ball for an extra half a second and just hits the right target, whether it's by hand or foot. And he's starting to get a bit more confident jumping in the air, isn't he? Like going for those marks or tapping it on and doing all those things that you can't teach. So he's going to be a very special player. Whether it's 15 touches a game, they'll be quality.
But just can we just go back a step, though? I've made no secret of it. I think we should finish Prestia up this year. I know he's playing good football, but we need to change that mix. Do you boys, after Saturday, do you guys still feel that those three should be our primary mix? Or do you feel that there's still a role for each of them, but we change the role? So Taranto might be 60-40 midfield, or Prestia becomes the permanent sub or something. What do you think, boys?
I think there's definitely a role for Prestia. From a point of view of, we saw that mic'd up thing, his footy IQ and his instruction on the ground is invaluable. Can it be as the sub? So he's talking to the players on the bench for the first 2.5 quarters and going through situations in the ground there like that, like being a voice down on the bench and then coming on for a burst later. I'd be quite fine with that. But I think we don't want to lose Prestia's IP just yet, even if he only plays 12 of the games next year, half of the games, and, you know, part of that is sub. I think he has a lot of teaching to give.
Because we've still got to fit McAuliffe into that midfield mix somewhere.
Yep.
He's still wanting to come back in. You still got to find a spot for maybe now for Houghton, maybe Seth Campbell next year, maybe Josh Smiley if we ever see him on the park, Lawler. There's a lot of blokes we've got to start fitting into that midfield and getting them the time that they deserve and need for us to
go. You have a squad of 45, CB.
Yeah.
I'm not saying Prestia is going to be your starting midfielder, but you said, does he have a role? And I just described the role to you quite clearly, and I am not sure what part of that that you did not understand.
You're using your yelly voice and yelly face at me, and it's making me nervous.
No, I'm using my very clear and concise voice.
You're pushing into the camera. Because I want you to
understand what do I need to speak slower for you.
I think it's... I'm with EJ. I think there's definitely a role with Prestia still at the club next year, but for me it would be about not guaranteeing 23 senior games. It would be play when needed, whether that's the fifth player on the bench if there's no sub, whether that's mentoring and playing at VFL. He would have to be willing and accepting of that, because in my mind the way the midfield for me should be working next year, I think one of Taranto or Hopper need to start at half forward. I don't care which one, and then you have the other one in the midfield, whether it's with a Ross or with a Prestia if he's playing, and then have a different other face in there almost every time. So he's still got some senior bodies in the mix, but you're also getting a lot more exposure and you're getting some experience on the half forward line. But yeah, Prestia, I think, still has value, most definitely from a coaching perspective, because the ability for him to coach these kids on the job, I think, is going to be pretty valuable. But it comes down to him and the club acknowledging that it may mean he's not playing every game in the ones, and he has to be okay with that.
I've always said you're a smart man, Michaels. I'm not too sure about CB, but you're very smart.
Here's your gold watch. Here's your pen. Here's your pat on the back. You've been a good little meatball. Time to put some others in there. That's all I'm saying. And I love him. I actually love him, but Father Time waits for no man in the field of sport, unfortunately. It's just a fact.
What about Camden McIntosh? He's probably another one that there'll be some question marks put up about in terms of the future at the club. Do we see him going on again in a in similar vein to Prestia, or do we think that might be the writing on the wall?
Here we go. Defends his little Italian mate, but he shoots Bambi. Good on you, mate. Good on you, mate. Hope you're proud of yourself.
I live in a town with a very high percentage of Italians in the population. I'm not as dumb as I look. I just think that I love K-Mac, and no one campaigned for him harder to get to 200 games than me. And I defended him in the face of a fair wave of criticism over time. He was exactly like Georgi Costanza. He was playing a role, and sometimes people didn't understand that he didn't need to get 20 possessions. He was, you know, holding shape and all that sort of stuff. And around the club, he's been the social glue that's kept the place together. But if I could mix up my metaphors like CB just did, Father Time waits for no man on the moon in the sporting field or whatever the fuck he said, right? So I think that Meatball offers more from a strategic and tactical point of view than what Camden does, and I think that's what we need. And I don't know what's going to happen with K-Mac. He might be the last person told as to what's going on, but if I had to choose between the two, I'm choosing Prestia every time.
I think he's been a wonderful servant of the club, Cappy, and it's actually a bloody sad day if he does hang up the boots, but he's been wonderful, got the most out of his ability. He really is a cultural, massive cultural figure at the club. So we will lose a bit there. But unfortunately, again, and I'm just thinking, we've got to get these kids game time. So if it's a schoolyard pick between Hugo Trainer and Trezos to try and go on the wings, I'm putting those three ahead of, all of a sudden, K-Max down to fourth in that list. So we've got to start getting games and development into these kids, and that's just where it is. And he'll be missed. He'll be missed if he does retire. I'll say that.
Yeah. You know, yeah.
Go on.
Okay. Yeah. There you go. You go.
Oh, just one point that CB said, because I don't always disagree. My favourite players are the players that are not necessarily the most talented, but the ones that absolutely get everything out of themselves, and you can't question in any way, shape or form what K-Mac has got out of himself. He squeezed every last bit of juice out of the orange. And that's why I get frustrated. I'll use someone who's gone now, like Cumberland, right? You can see the talent that kid had. Daniel Connors threw it away by being a clown, all right? These really, really uber-talented players who had much more natural ability than K-Mac, but K-Mac got there through hard work and determination, and they're the players that I love.
See, folks, that's hate. He's still grudging. He's still grudging on Cumberland 2 years later. That's hatred, folks. That is hatred with a smile.
Tell me what part of it was wrong.
Just saying, it's hatred, mate. I think we should have hatred. Kept him and Liam McBean. Yeah,
McBean. There was still calls to bring him back a couple of years ago after his efforts in the sandful.
McDonough, stiff. I could go.
Arnott.
Matty Arnott, he's watched the show a few times, Matty Arnott. He's one of the family. What's interesting with, I just want to talk about the game again quickly. I see a lot of points about the lack of effort and intensity and stuff like that, which I guess can be somewhat fair enough. But then you look that we've laid 71 tackles, which is substantially higher than the week prior. It's just interesting because they obviously were making an effort. I know we didn't have the ball for a lot, but I thought that was actually an improved part of our game, despite us still losing. That was just my final point on that. But yeah, there should be some interesting retirements come into view. It's a really tricky juggling act. I think we have to also be mindful that we did just lose 1,600 games experience last year, and you don't necessarily want to do the same again this year. We know that Broadie's last year is 2026. He said that himself. So I guess we have to... Would you agree that we've got to try and string out the next set of retirements, if we're talking about McIntosh, Prestia, Lynch, Broad, Vlosten, like in terms of those five, do you think it's in our best interest as a club to stretch it out over the span of 3 or 4 years to try and offset the damage it might cause if they all go at once?
Well, you've still got the other guys. It's only Lynch and, I mean, Lynch is playing on next year. So it's only this year you're only losing maybe 1 to 2. So it doesn't really impact us that greatly, I feel. But it will speed up development again, and it'll probably speed us up a bit more around the ground as well, some areas.
Well, that's the overarching feeling then, EJ. Need for speed, I think, should be our club motto or campaign for next year. We just got torched, didn't we? And this is where adding someone like a Sam Grill would be of value, and yeah, bringing in some of the players that we've got on the injury list would be nice too. But it's going to be fascinating to see what we do in the off season. Like, you keep hearing
when we're talking about need for speed. When we're talking pace. Need for speed, we're not talking Ben Cousins, okay?
No, no, we're talking pace.
No, yes. No, yes, no, we love no, Cousins. No,
we're talking. We we're talking.
Pace. No, we do like Cousins. Pace. We are talking pace.
I saw a door and it opened. It just had a crack. And I had to.
Yeah, it did. I did leave that one open, didn't I? And yeah, so this is where like players like Roses get are of interest. Like I keep hearing again today that is it Sheldrick from Swans is still of interest. I don't know how validated a lot of the info is, but it's just interesting that we keep hearing bits and pieces. Whether we split picks to try and get some of these guys across and then draft some youngsters as well, it's going to be a really interesting and important off-season.
Richmond, for the love of Christ, please. Kellaway, yes. Scott, yes. There's a kid, Harry Scott. He's already at the club. We've seen what he's got. Can we please just put him on the list for the love of Christ? Can we just do the obvious? Can we just for once do the obvious thing with one of our players in the VFL? Could we do that? Or are you just going to see him go to Hawthorn or Essendon?
Yeah. It depends if we've got the pick. Like,
oh, geez, wouldn't he be handy right now?
We'd have to find another pick to get him, though. Oh, there you go. Sheldrick signed for 2 years. There we go. That squashes that one from today. But no, you're right, CB. Like, it feels like there'll be another story come of that, though, doesn't it? That we'll miss out on yet another VFL player somewhere down the line. But oh, well. VFL time. So the VFL team did lose on the weekend. They lost to Williamstown 73-52. Look, to be fair, we're running pretty light on in the VFL at the moment. But we are qualified and we are playing this week against GWS in the wildcard game. So make sure we all obviously get around the VFL team. And there should be some interesting names that might come back into that side. But in terms of the VFL match itself, Caleb Smith led the way with 30 touches. That's actually, I mean, I didn't watch it, so I don't know the quality of disposal, but good on him for finding it 30 times and hopefully it all went well. Harry Scott, your man CB, had 24 touches, 6 tackles, 5 clearances. Razzo, who's another one that everyone often mentions, 14 touches, 2 goals. Trying to find. So Gibkus, who'll be one I'm sure we'll talk about shortly, 11 disposals, 4 marks. Hayes Brown, Hayes Brown and Fawcett, I think, were on managed minutes on the back of injury. So Hayes Brown had 10 disposals, 22 hitouts, 4 clearances. Jasper Elga, 7 disposals, kicked a goal, and Fawcett, 5 disposals. So a couple of AFL boys back in amongst the action. But yeah, it should be interesting to see how we go this week in the wild card. But there could be some other names heading back there, which would be interesting.
Yeah. It'd be interesting whether, in my head, whether we just Vlosten out and train it in. Might be the only change I would do and put the rest into VFL. Because this year, those blokes, put them back in.
Yeah. I still think that Josh Gibkus is a really good chance for this week. He's been named emergency. I know he didn't travel emergency last week. I just felt like for a while that they're gearing him up to play at least one AFL game, and they've lost an out kind of does give him room to slot in, but it also does for Trainer as well. He was obviously a very, very late out.
Yeah, either way.
But not we'll fast. Get to the changes. We'll get to the changes shortly. I'll go
with Trainer. How many of our first round draft picks from last year have already done hamstrings? Right? Wasn't he out with awareness? Let's not add another one to the list. If there's any doubt about him, just park the kid. Have a rest, son.
And that's why I'm glad they did pull the trigger as late as they did.
Yeah.
Just with the the awareness factor. There's no risk needed. There's nothing to gain from playing in those types of games at this stage of the year. But we did do a video of our own on this one last week for Come On Man, but we're slipping it back into its regular time slot here, EJ. So if you're ready to go, it's time. Where am I? Well, I'll play the intro twice so we get the
full one. Hang on. Hey, crisp.
Yeah. That was crisp. Yeah, there we go. I think that's back-to-back weeks. I've got that right.
Nailed it. Look, there's probably 100 things that could be said this week, but a couple of things really stood out. Richmond Football Club. Like, we went through the period of time where we sold the games up north and then had bloody rugby league players kicking goals to win games and all this sort of crap.
Yeah.
We've really done a good job in getting the club in a nice, strong financial position. We're debt-free, yada, yada, yada. So I hear today on something that Xander Maguire's put out that, we're not going to sell the game to Tasmania now. We're in negotiations with GWS to sell a game up to the SCG. Like, seriously, have we not watched what's happened when buddy the Roos go over to WA and get absolutely flogged selling a home game over there? We don't need to sell home games. We're not a peasant club. Come on, Richmond.
Come on, man.
It pisses me off no end that we're doing this.
I'm on the other side of the fence. Only because of the redevelopment. If that wasn't happening, it would be a dumb as dog shit move. But I think there's a little bit of grounds because the back half of that redevelopment's not funded yet. They need to find the coin somewhere, and it's either doing things like that or we're all going to pay more for memberships or pay more for whatever to fund it that way. So, and my big thing is, I know the Cairns game's obviously a big sticking point with, there's a lot of harsh memories from that. But next year, if it's just a one-year commitment, I don't think it's going to impact our football aspirations. We're not making finals next year. It's not going to be too detrimental. And whilst it's inconvenient, I think there's a larger thing at play to try and get this redevelopment done. And if that does it, instead of all of us having to cough out more, I don't mind it. But if there was no redevelopment, I'd be dead against it.
Look at you putting limits on what we can achieve next year. We're not playing finals next year. Oh. You sound like CB.
John Russon beat my gag. I was going to do the old, we should have sold more digital bricks, you know.
It's
just philosophically, I'm against it.
But I would have paid money for? I wouldn't have paid $200 for a piece of paper and a digital brick, but when they bulldozed the friggin' Jack Dyer stand down, I would have actually paid $100 for a friggin' brick out of that stand. I would have actually paid for that, to have the actual brick out of the Jack Dyer stand. I'd pay for that. But instead, we're going to stick him in a skip and piss him off.
Weren't they selling him?
Yeah, I'm sure they were.
No, we had visual.
So you failing to buy a brick is why we're selling home games.
It cost us saving. Jesus.
Yes. Cheers.
Funny. But this week's official Come On Man. Oh, the AFL, the MRO, the MRO, yeah, whatever. I mean, seriously, this Ollie Wines 3-week suspension. Thank you, Port Adelaide. Thank you for appealing the decision.
Have they? Good.
They have. Yeah. They have. This is without a doubt. Forget your Ryan Mansells. Forget your Brodie Mychek's not getting suspended. All this. This is without a doubt the worst decision of the year.
Yeah, agree.
Royston Willerioli.
It's the worst decision that I can remember. That's you've stopped me in my tracks.
That's a good call.
Death threats to opposition players. 1 week. accidentally bump a bloke. Three.
Yeah, but no, but this bloke, the thing is we were told that the whole idea behind this was that you were responsible for your actions, and if you chose to bump and you hit a person high and blah, 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 he does not get lawed in the head. It's a bump. He's being penalised for a little. He's bumped him and he's bumped into the ground and he smacked his head on the ground. That's not Wise's fault. The actual action of the bump was a clean bump and was perfectly executed and should not be penalised. This is an absolute disgrace.
Come on, man.
The reality is, mate, they want the bat. They want the bump gone out of the game. That is the real. They want the bump out of the game altogether. And let's face it, they're going to bring in
when do we get the bibs? When do we get the bibs? So Tom Lynch wears one that says FF.
Yeah, it's coming.
Toby Nankervis wears one that says RU. Like all the names, the positions, and you're not allowed to bounce the ball anymore. You can only take three steps, then you have to pass it.
It's coming because the AFL doesn't want to get sued for CTE injuries down the line. It's coming.
And mate, you know it's a shit decision when supporters from all other clubs go into bat for another team. That's when you know it's a shit decision. And the amount of comments on social media saying, have you posted the right footage? There's nothing in that one. And people were just ripping into them. It'd be fascinating to see if it gets overturned. It'd be really, really interesting. But I agree. That's one of the worst ones for the year.
Game's gone, mate.
Speaking of rules, it's not necessarily a come on man piece, but I did read some bits and pieces today that clubs were made aware of some possible incoming changes for next year to maybe expect the last touch rule. I think we've been conditioned to this for the last 7 or 8 years, to be honest, and it's just now maybe going to be more official. And there was some hinting at there'll be changes to the father, son and academy stuff coming in for next year. Now, I don't know what the severity of it is. I'm still holding out hopes that it somehow tortures Carlton and they don't get access to Walker and everyone can just start, you know, trying to draft him with a normal pick. So I'm not sure what that's going to be happening. And then, yeah, the sub sounds like it could be making way as well. I think the five on the interchange is not a bad shout, but I suppose the more controversial one is the last touch rule, gents and chat. What do we think of the last touch rule coming to effect like the Sandful?
Makes me sick. Actually makes me sick.
Isn't it last disposal out of bound? Not last.
Sorry, I should have clarified. If it's a clear-cut disposal, like if you spoil it over the line, you're not getting penalised. It's more if you do an errant handball and it misses the player and it goes out.
It's a kick or a handball.
Yeah, if it's a contested situation, it's still a throw-in.
It's an oval-shaped ball. It has a degree of unpredictability about it. We play in wet weather. We play in dry weather. Can these cockheads actually get rid of the stand rule, which is something we didn't ask for, and actually focus on shit like that, or maybe getting hold the ball correct and take some pressure off the umpires? We've got blokes doing 7 bloody 20s and 360s, and you get tackled and you drop the ball and it's play on, and people just don't know what the hell is going on. So how about rather than putting new shit into the game, let's fix the existing shit into the game and maybe move forward from there. Just saying.
I think they are looking at the stand rule as well. I don't think they're looking to remove the stand rule, but maybe around the interpretation of it. I think that's their baby. I don't think they'll remove that anytime soon.
Right. So every survey you see, no one wants a stand rule as a majority, right?
I've never seen a positive survey from that question.
Right. So my understanding is, and please in the comments correct me if I'm wrong, but my understanding is that what Swanee wants is that if you're told to stand, you stand, right? There is to be no retreating. There will be no retreating back five.
Again, where's your bibs? Let's bring out the bibs.
I'm just passing on what I understand to be what the updated version of Stan will be. There'll be no more outside five. It'll be You stand and you stand.
But how dumb is it? Like, teams get, and I get annoyed when teams get pinged for 50 for moving back away from the kicker. Like, the whole point of the rule was to give the kicker space so you couldn't encroach or cut off angles. So players moving back away from the person with the ball should not be penalized in any way, shape, or form, because that is what they were trying to achieve, not disrupting the kicker.
Yep.
So stupid. And then the other one I read that that he wants ruckmen to be able to run and jump to contest the ruck in the middle of the ground. So I'm not entirely sure what that means. Or what he's trying to achieve there. And hopefully they sort out this nomination in the ruck bullshit. Just throw the thing up. Shorten the quarters. And I know, EJ, we talked about shortening quarters. I'm not talking about Patrick Dangerfield shortening a quarters, but we don't need 34-minute quarters or 32-minute quarters. Let's get it to 26 to 29 minutes. Somewhere around there is not so bad. But just, there's simple things they can fix.
There was a few ball-ups on the weekend around the ground where they waited an eternity for the ruckman to turn up. Just throw it up.
There's too much logic in this chat, folks. There's no place for that in the
AFL. EJ gets stuff.
But again, if you were to go and ask these same questions on any other fan podcast, they would all be the same answers. And this is what I mean. Right. Like, I don't think anyone has seen a positive outcome or like answer to the stand rule to 666, nothing, but there's always this some fancy survey that apparently everyone does that it's everyone's enjoying it, but no one I know or have spoken to has ever been part of this survey.
It's just, mate, it's just hot dog shit. They're lying and they're just doing what they want. They're happy to... Actually, it was interesting. I put a thing on Twitter. I reposted, again, surveys. People saying, we're hating the Americanization of our game. The loud music. We go for the atmosphere. We don't go for the loud music. We don't go to see the betting odds. We don't go to all this shit that gets rammed on us.
And okay,
the fans are actually asking for a simpler, more visceral experience of the game. Something they understand. Get rid of these new rules. Get rid of the outside crap. It used to be great back in the olden days when you could actually just talk to the supporter next year about what was going on. Everyone was just getting on. Hi, Edge.
Just on the rules, I want it known that I'm not anti-rule change, right? I actually like the 666 after a goal's been kicked. Mind you, I don't think there should be any warnings, but I like the fact that you've there's a bit more time wasting, right?
Yeah.
I like the 666 because it does see when there's momentum and charges on late in games that it keeps it open and stuff. And I like the player further back from the mark on the kick-in. Right? I'm not saying that I hate every rule and that we shouldn't change rules and we can't improve the game. But when they, when they stuff it up, can they not admit that they're wrong and listen to the people? Because they keep saying to us that the fans own the game. Show us that the fans own the game by listening to what the fans have to say.
We are run by a bunch of groupthink morons. That's what it is. Too busy swaying with the breeze, trying to see what the actual popular opinion is, rather than actually just getting to the nuts and bolts of the game and keeping the integrity. And the rest will come. We will come on the journey if they just go back to the integrity of the game. But no, groupthink, and they just, it's pathetic. Pathetic, weak-minded people. That's what they are.
All of you.
good brainstorming, everyone. Well done. It kind of did raise a secondary question from Justin, and it's probably one we probably should have spoken about a fraction earlier, but I think it's worth raising now anyway. The ruck, do we think it's starting to become a concern going forward? And, like, we all love Nank, and I think we all got it wrong in terms of him not being captain in the preseason. I think we're all glad he was captain again this season. But he's obviously a war horse. He's getting tired. He's getting on the older side. We don't have an extremely obvious answer at the moment. And I don't know how much this factors into our midfield issues, but he is the shortest number one ruckman in the competition. And I know we won flags with him in there, but we also had a guy named Dusty Martin running around and Trent Cotchin, who were very good at what they did, who were able to sort of mitigate any height issues. So we don't really get first use of the ball is kind of what I'm getting at. do we need, one, how do we help him next year? And two, how quickly do we need to enact a plan to replace him? I don't know if Sims is the number one ruck going forward. He's not big enough yet. Hayes Brown's traveling okay. Where does that lead? Samson Ryan. I tried my best to pump him up pre-season. It's failed. CB, you can go first.
Again, I think my car was bugged because I was having a conversation with another amazingly like-minded, same hairline kind of gentleman.
Same hairline.
So here's the thing. Our recruiting team technically got it right 3 or so years ago because we actually did recruit a ruckman, but unfortunately the ruckman hasn't come on. So if Samson Ryan right now is where we thought he should be, Nank would get the chop out that we're asking for, yeah? Guys, 5 years in the system. Unfortunately, it doesn't seem to be working out. So the recruiting team recognised the issue way back when, but it just bloody hasn't transpired. Me personally, if TDK is getting 1. Whatever million coming in, I'll be on the phone to Rowan Marshall. What do you reckon?
As a quick stop go, because he's quite old too.
Yeah, but he's a pretty good player. Good wars.
No, good player, definitely.
Yeah. Ned Moyle, I'm interested in. Also, Reeves is out of favour at Hawthorne. They've got Ramsden, Reeves, and Lord Meek. So you're going to be able to. I'm of the Grant Thomas school of ruck investment. You don't need a top Max Gawn, pay them a squillion dollar ruckman. You need a good, serviceable, combative, competitive ruckman that will give you 80% game time every week. And that is what Nank has been, and he's been a bloody marvel in doing it. And he cost us pick 46, I think, something like that, right?
Yep.
We don't need to go top line, and it's something that we can address this off-season.
Correct.
Yeah, and I see a lot of people mentioning Cooper Duff-Titler in the comments, who is a prospect this year for drafting. My only problem with him is even if we draft Cooper Duff-Titler this year, he's still not going to be ready for 4, 5, 6 years physically to be the number one ruck. So we're actually no better off. And all we've essentially done is drafted another key forward who's going to be fighting for a spot against Jonty Fall, Harry Armstrong, and Tom Sims. So the pick doesn't make sense to me to take him because he's not going to actually, timeline-wise, he doesn't fit in. So, yeah, to your point, CB, we actually did time the pick right initially. It's just the player hasn't done what we had hoped they would do. But this is where I still think Hayes Brown is maybe a sneaky chopper. I'm not at all suggesting that Hayes Brown can take over the number one ruck role in its entirety, but I do think next year there would be a genuine chance to see him chop out at some point because he improved quite a lot this year. And he's, 208, 209 centimetres. And it might give us a bit of a different look in the middle and maybe it gives Nank a rest. And I think we would be negligent to think Nank can battle his way through 23 games again next year like he did this year. Because it's brutal. It's a brutal business when you're undersized, getting smashed into every week. He had the one game off against Essendon. That was it.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, but you look at the rucks around the league, right? Nank has come from another club. Meek has come from another club. Is it Flynn at West Coast? Has come from another club. Witts has gone from Collingwood to GWS. We don't need to draft a ruckman. We just need to pick a good, serviceable ruckman. And whoever it is, I'm not an expert on rucks, but there is a stack of second rucks around there that are right for the picking. And I'm with that. I'm not interested in that. No CDT.
Straubs O'Dwyer, bring him back.
Yeah, why not?
Yeah, I think just trade for ruck need, I think, when the timing's right. Next year, I mean, Bolton might have to play a bit more of a role. McKelty may play a role at some point. We'll have to find a way to navigate it because I just don't think it's fair to expose him again for another full year.
Okay, so let's talk about the other. Noah Bolter, we know why he's had an interrupted year and a very inconsistent year. Could he be the solution as the second key forward and second ruck?
I think he came for a year as a stopgap, yep.
Yeah. So draft more talent in, and then, I don't know, just a thought. I know EJ's got his thoughts on bolter forward and what have you, but as a rucking solution.
Kick two goals.
Two goals off effort for Courage. Two goals.
Richard Lowndes kicked a couple of goals once too.
He's gone back to 1986 just to whack me. What's going on?
RFC, I have a different definition of the word great. Walter's last two games as a key forward have been serviceable. He's not shooting the lights out. He's just not a natural forward. He's just not smart enough. I'd like to see him, as we talked about last week, I've got no issue with him going in the ruck. I reckon that's a great idea. But if all the kids are fit, yeah, there you go. Cleve Hughes kick five. That's a great call.
Stop it, Brock. You're being naughty.
I reckon Jaden Post might have kicked a couple once as well.
Oh, Post, man.
Yeah. If all of our key forwards are young key forwards are fit and Lynch is going around again, I'm happy with Lynch and either Armstrong, Jonty, whatever, than playing Bolter forward. But that's, yeah, look, injuries are going to happen, so we'll probably end up playing forward anyway. Oh, yes, Ty Vickery. Get
Ty Vickery back.
Yeah.
Jesus. Greg Stafford. Oh, yeah. Wow. It's definitely an area of concern for next year, though. I've said this before. I really do think that Bolter offers quite a bit as the second ruck, and I think he plays well when he's just chasing aimlessly on instincts rather than trying to play structural football. But it's where he then plays when he's not doing that, I guess, is the question that's up for debate. And, yeah, you don't want him to take too much time away from a fall or an Armstrong, but I think if we want to be competitive down forward, I'm not sure how impactive Lynch will be next year. Like, I know he had a really good first half on the weekend and he was doing some really good things, but, you know, he gets a year older and you just don't know how it's going to pan out for Lynchy. But
yeah, Ty Vickery became Shea Bolton, became two first rounders. So
we've done well there. We've done well there.
Now, look, topical RFC said, what is Oren Stevenson doing these days?
Yeah, I stayed away from that.
Yeah.
without going too far.
This could be our last show, folks, so it's been a pleasure.
I'm not sure what visiting hours are at Bowen.
Speaking of Bowen, we do have Geelong this week, which is going to be... I've latched onto that one quite well, haven't I? It's the last game for the season, and look... I think it's safe to say it's not going to be pretty. I don't mean to be negative Nancy about it all, but the Cats, whether we like it or not, the Cats are flying. They're playing. They still need to win to hold on to second spot because the Lions can chase them down. So I think we don't get the luxury of them resting a heap of players against us. There'll be a late change, so we know that much. It depends on who it might be. But first of all, what changes do we think there'll be this week? Obviously, we had Luke Traynor set out with hamstring awareness. Do we just put a line through him and wrap him up for next year? Jasper Elgar played in the twos and did okay. Obviously, Vlosten's out. I still think that Josh Gibkiss is a sneaky chance to play a game in place of Nick Vlosten. That's my bet for this week.
Yeah.
I'm not sure who's going to come in for Nick. If Traynor's fit, if he's fit, yes, but I'm just really concerned about the awareness thing.
Yeah.
I'll let the club make the call on Gibkiss. It just scares the absolute shit out of me, but part of me really wants it from a
Roman point of view. Five or six games now in the VFL?
Yeah. Yeah. So it would be great reward for 3 years of, or 2.5 years of tough times. To get him in there.
We said before, CB. No, I don't think... Well, we don't have the cattle to make massive changes, to be honest. There's no one else to come in. But I do think for his mental health and belief in his own body, CB, that it would be nice to get Gibkiss in there. I know he hasn't had Tyler Young-like numbers that got him into the side initially as a defender, but he's been named emergency the last few weeks, maybe out of... because there's no one else there to put there. But, yeah, I think I would park Trainer if there's the awareness to EJ's point, CB, but I reckon Gibkiss, yeah, could definitely get a shot here.
I don't mind Kylie Coates' comment. Do you push Bolter down in defense and bring in Cozzy, who kicked four in his last game in the Rezies, bring Cozzy as a forward?
Oh,
I don't mind that.
Just saying.
So I think Shannon, the only thing that may impact that decision is Shannon Neal, I believe, copped a 1 week suspension. And on, like, not to go off on a tangent, but that has really hurt me for Supercoach draft grand final. So they'll have Jeremy Cameron down there, who didn't kick a goal last week. So he, I guess, do you reckon it's a good thing now that the century's probably, well, it's unattainable, really, it should be unattainable this week. So maybe if it turns into a more normal-looking match for him and the Cats.
Could you imagine Hutto squirting all over the TV set if he kicked 100 against us, and all those Geelong sycophants? So thank God for that. Thank God for small mercies.
And there you go. Sol has said that Cozzy is back 100% win rate this year. Well, why haven't we put him back in earlier? Why wouldn't we have done that? That seems to make the most sense.
So this is what field suggestions.
No, but I'll just say this. It's kind of a shame we don't have more players available to make some more left field decisions.
Yeah. Done.
Loon's got a question. Why is Blight not being considered? I just think it's because we want to trade him. And if he plays one more game, it activates an automatic contract.
Yeah. I think he's done.
Yep. Agree.
So just to clarify, Jones Racing, it's a draft. You only get 15 players, and I traded him in as for a free agent at some point because Bolton was playing shit. Yeah, long story. But what do we want to expect from this last week of football? I mean, I don't think it's logical enough to expect a win, but, you know, they interviewed Tom Lynch post-game. And he says, we're going to throw the kitchen sink at Geelong. So why didn't we do that against North? What does the kitchen sink look like? Can we
His fist and he gets another 10 weeks.
Can we stop Bailey Smith from getting 60 touches? Because he seems to get 40 at will with attention. If we don't, like, surely, EJ, we've learned our lesson from last week and we actually show the guy some respect and try and prevent him from getting the footy in some capacity.
So Nick Dacos got 43. Harry Shees got 54. Bailey Smith's going to get 65.
It's going up.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Do we try? I know we haven't tagged in the last couple of weeks, EJ, but do you look to try and do something from the start to give yourself a chance to be competitive? Or do you just.
Well, who's going to run with Smith? Who's going to run with Smith?
I don't know. Jack Ross.
K-Mac.
K-Mac.
Yeah, well, that's a good point. At least with Bailey Smith, 30 of his 60 will come back to us. That's from RFC. That's very good. That's very good. Look, I know it's a 1% chance of happening, but it would be the funniest thing of all time if we beat Geelong this week to go back above North Melbourne on the ladder, but also that Geelong missed the top four.
it would be good.
We know it's not going to happen, CB, but it would be the funniest thing of all time.
I just want two things. A competitive effort, just have a crack. I don't want us losing. Just have a go. But can we please change the midfield mix up? Can we just try something this weekend before the fourth quarter? Let's mix it up a bit. Throw a few curveballs. We're not winning. Let's see what next year looks like. Let's try and get a little glimpse of the future to see how it could work and get some learnings in a real game situation, rather than the two practice games you get before the season starts next year.
Maybe this is the week where we go forwards are backs and backs are forwards, like junior football.
I'm just talking a couple of different changes in the midfield. That's all.
Yeah, I'm with you. And you want it to be impactful changes, like where they actually get a chance to try and change momentum of a game, not just a going through the motions type change. I think there's ways where it can be a bit more meaningful as well. So, yeah, I guess is that where we're at, though? Just a competitive effort.
Yeah.
It's hard. There's probably an element of them being somewhat checked out, I imagine. But it would be nice for them to try and finish off the season with a bit of fight and a bit of grit. Because, like we've said, even though the last week was a bit shit, And we've had a couple of iffy games. I don't want to have a rough last couple of games to take away from what's been a season where we probably still performed above where we all thought we were going to be. So hopefully they can have a red hot crack. And if there are retirements on the horizon, hopefully they can play well for those players involved and send them out in style. One eye on Bali. Who takes Jeremy Cameron? You got Ben Miller, Tyler Young, Noel Bolter obviously in the mix as well. Who would you send to Jezza to try and contain him?
Bolter.
I didn't, from memory, was it Tyler Young or was it Robbie Tarrant that did a good job? I know it was on Hawkins, but I'm not sure if that translates to to playing well on Jeremy Cameron. But yeah, maybe it's Bolter. Who would you go, EJ?
I'd go Broady. I reckon Broady's a good match.
Broady?
Yeah. I tell you what, I don't know what is stirring in the audience tonight, but there's calls from a lot of people for K-Mac to go full Alistair Lynch in his last game.
Even Grok's getting amongst it. Jesus.
Actually, Tom Stewart, that's our boy.
Jacob, I like this idea. Put all players on a spin field. They tell me pick positions. I like that.
Dion Preston, his last game. Fucking bang. Just knock out Stewart.
Full Alistair Lynch. We can't be doing that, surely.
Yes, we can.
Yes, we can. Miller. Yeah, I think there'll be a few players that might get rotated through Jeremy Cameron, to be honest.
I think Miller will get... he's suspended.
Who?
Your mate got suspended, didn't he? The other tall forward?
Neil, yeah.
Yeah. That Miller would have been going to Neil. That would have been the logical choice.
So looking at I'm not sure who will come in, of course, but so they've got Dangerfield up forward, which could be, they might even rest Dangerfield being older potentially, but he gets a week off next week anyway. Mullen, Manor, Stengel. So Cameron and Neil were probably the two bigger players down there, unless Blitzarves goes forward. And I'm not sure who else they might bring in. So we might actually match up okay from a height perspective. It's the midfield again, though, isn't it, gents? Like Max Holmes, I actually secretly hope that Max Holmes gets off the chain for Supercoach reasons. Bailey Smith, Tom Atkins has been huge. Ollie Dempsey, he's probably the one. Ollie Dempsey, who's got that really good outside speed, who's come along a little bit this year. How do we? Is it as simple as changing the mix to try and stop the outside run killing us? I think that's the starting point at a minimum.
They will go through the middle hard too. If we don't clog up the midfield in the middle of the ground and get that right, they will beat the shit out of us through that middle.
We have to learn from last week, EJ, don't we? Like the amount of times the Kangaroos were able to go coast to coast on us from a kick out or a turnover deep in defensive half for them was quite alarming, and the Cats are going to do it better than them. So hopefully we've taken some notes and can make some tweaks to prevent damage like that happening again. But with that all being said and done, let's get a final tip, including margin. Chuck him in the chat as well, and we'll pop him up on the screen. EJ, you can go first. Who are you tipping, and what's the margin for this one?
Oh, Cats by 10 goals. I was just looking at someone in the chat saying Dion to go full Joe Pesci, and all I can think of is Dion in the middle going, "Funny how?" from Goodfellas.
Tell him to go shine his shoes. Tell him to go get his shoebox and shine his shoes, mate.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. Yeah, I don't know what Snoop Dobbing them is, but anyway. about 10 goals.
Has to be under 100 points. There's a secondary prediction. Sorry, we have to get Grok's just throwing this in here. What's Danger going to eat on the bench? If we want to have any predictions on what he's going to snack on when he's on the bench. Don't get me started.
He's not going to be eating his own humility, is he? Adrock's got a real beanie spotted about me the last couple of weeks.
CB, who are you tipping by how much? Oh, David's gone real rogue here. Tigers by 69. I like it.
I'll go this. Geelong. I don't like you. You're an arrogant shithead club. You're Maui by the sea. Your coach is an arrogant prick. Dangerfield's a wanker. Tom Stewart's nothing but a sniping dog. I hope Dion Presti does knock him out, for the record, and squares him up for Nick Floston as well. Right, then retires on that note. It'd be fantastic. Just can't stand the club. They're arrogant. Their supporters are a bunch of entitled wankers who don't even understand the game properly. Can't stand them. Not even going to give them the satisfaction of a margin. Stick it.
That's a fine, isn't it? Do we get fined for that these days, looping the bird? Yeah, I reckon the Cats will get it done quite comfortably, I think. If it's... Yeah, it might be somewhere between 60 and 75 points. What's the weather meant to be like this weekend? Is it meant to be clear or is it going to be pouring rain? I'm not sure what it's going to be doing. But unfortunately for us, the Cats are going to be tuning up for finals. And like I said, they need to win. So that kind of goes against us a little bit, which is a bit annoying. People are loving CB's rant there. Well done, CB. You've got the audience on side with that one.
17 degrees, partly cloudy.
Okay.
Oh, chaotic, yes. Yes, chaotic. No, chaotic.
Oh, Josh Kane, 27. Oh, dear. But, I mean, look, we know the game's probably not going to go our way, but definitely do try get out there. I think I'll be heading along as well to the G to watch this one. So if you do see us out there, make sure you come and say g'day. Pester EJ as well. Hopefully we can see a fair crack for the last game of the season. But thank you to everybody for tuning in tonight. EJ and CB, thank you for jumping on, gents. Appreciate your time as always. We'll probably do a Monday show to debrief on it all, I guess. And there might be some more news to come out of that game with some retirements and bits and pieces that we can address. And Grock will be there as well. There we go. Maybe we have a mini catch-up. We'll try and organise that on the fly.
We should just do a live call just so I can scream abuse at Geelong for 2 hours. Geelong
horse. We'll get Tiggs on the cans. He can scream some abuse. That'll be good.
Yes. Let's light it up.
And then we'll head down to the cattery afterwards to leave a surprise. But Wednesday. Yep. So there'll be the team selection show. I'm assuming Tiggs will be okay to go. He was having a bit of a rough trot with his meds last week, so that's why he wasn't able to jump on. But I'll check in with him and see how he's going, and we'll have him on. But otherwise, if we do have a meetup at the MCG, if it's pre-game or halftime or whatever, we'll chuck it on the socials. If it's just for a chat out the front, come and say good day and we can all, have a bit of a catch up. So thank you again, everybody, for tuning in tonight. And until next week, go Tigers.
Go Tigers.
Go Tigers. Stick it up them, Geelong wankers.